and you can take it away.
All right, thank you, Jeff. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Bobby, I'm an alcoholic. Grateful to be here and grateful to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous and grateful to have found BBA many years ago, because with this experience, it really broadened, made my recovery that much better. Let's put it down, boil it down to simplest terms. God separated me from alcohol on February 17th, 2008. And I say that because when I was getting arrested for DWI, a voice popped into my head that said, this has to end, you have to stop. I don't know where that came from. Didn't know it at the time, but now I do. That it was my higher power saying, telling me what needed to be done with the rest of my life. I have a sponsor. I have a home group, Journey to Freedom in Livingston, New Jersey. I'm based in New Jersey. And Lonnie, thank you for asking me to speak tonight. I am going to be speaking on step 12, working with others. Just a little more background. So I was asked to talk about my experience in this chapter with BBA. I was first exposed to BBA in around 2011 on the East Coast in New Jersey, where there was no BBA meetings. No one else had heard of it. And my friend met Dan, and he started holding these meetings in his office, and we would go through pages from this. He would hand out these pages and then show us this workbook. And I had been through the steps, you know, the other way of AA, just reading through line by line with a sponsor and doing the steps that way. And the experience of doing it with BBA was just that much more in depth and really got me that much more unblocked from the God within me and really helped bring me to a new level of spiritual living. I was involved with the BBA. We used to have phone conference meetings before Zoom, before the pandemic, for years. And I was first exposed to that. I participated in those way back in maybe 2014, 15, 16. There's recordings on the BBA Awakenings website from then. But it was a interesting thing because you didn't see anybody. And when you spoke, you were talking into a phone looking at your living room wall. And but they were really powerful meetings. And then Zoom came along. And I actually got to meet and see the people I had been speaking to on the phone. And they were people from all over the world. And I got to see them, see what they looked like, see who they were. And it's just been an amazing experience, especially more BBA than any other meetings, because we've had a group of people that tend to keep coming to these meetings and getting to know them and actually being able to call them friends and brothers and sisters in recovery has been an amazing experience. So step 12, we get to step 12 after doing the first 11 steps, and it's called working with others. And I like to read the first two paragraphs of chapter 7 and then start talking about it. As we know, it's the step is having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. We try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And for me, that there's two parts there, and they're both, to me, equally important. I'm here to pass this along and work with others and carry this message to other alcoholics. But I also am supposed to practice these principles in all my affairs, not just in AA, not just in BBA, not just with alcoholics, but in all of my life. And if I don't do that, I'm not really living sober, not really living a spiritual way. So I'll come back to that a little bit as we go along. But these first two paragraphs are really powerful. Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. Remember, they are very ill. Well, it's a couple of amazing statements in there that we have gone from when we start this process from being an alcoholic of the hopeless variety to being able to carry this message and help others where no one else can. And we've seen that not even medical doctors could help people that were hopelessly alcoholic. Oops. Hang on 1 second. Earbud down, sorry. So by doing these steps, you know, I gain a power where I can go out and help other people recover from this disease. And, you know, they say that, you know, a lot of people use the term, like, doing the work. I got to do the work. The real work of AA is here in the 12th step, to work with others and carry this message. And when I first came in and I asked to work with me, you know, he gave me that newcomer interview and asked me my story and what life was like for me. And then he asked me two questions when it came to the point where he realized that we were a match and he could work with me. He said, I'll do it on two conditions. Do you agree to go to any lengths to get sober? You know, I would have said yes to anything at that point because I was just dying to have this guy work with me. But I said yes. And then the next question was, and once you do you promise to work with others and carry this message and give the message I'm going to give to you and pass it on to others? And I said yes, not knowing what either of those things meant at the time. But I know now that this is what we get recovered for. This is why, you know, we go to meetings and share our experience, strength, and hope, because we are the only ones that can really help other people just like us. Because we don't listen to, if you were like me and I'm sure most of others, we didn't listen to fraud the emotional appeal from other people around us, right? You know, it wasn't until I came to AA and started listening and started paying attention that I got the message of what this disease was that I was really afflicted with and what this problems were inside of me. And that my problem wasn't just that I loved to drink too much, but that there were problems I was treating with the alcohol that needed to be taken care of. And I had no clue about that. And I had no clue how to do that. Well, first I didn't know I had a problem. And then once you told me I had a problem, I didn't know how to fix it until I became willing to work the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, because the problems are deep down in my spiritual core. The spiritual unmanageabilities we talk about in step two, those were the problems that drove my obsession to drink. And now that I've learned how to deal with those, you know, through inventory, through turning my will and my life over to the care of God and asking for his power to carry out his will for me, having made all my amends, having living in step 10 and taking care of things on when they happen and crop up, and then my nightly inventory prayer and meditation. You know, now my job is to pass this along. I also have to work on my spiritual condition, right? And I have to do that. And the way that the book tells us to do it is by prayer and meditation and working with others. It says right here, the very first sentence, nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. You know, there it is. You know, that's the foundation stone of our program, is being there to help others. When they first wrote this book, there weren't people to help others. And then as Bill and Bob got together and they started expanding this fellowship, we started having people who could help others. You know, the word sponsor is nowhere in this book. When they wrote this book, they mailed it out to people who had nobody around them to work steps with. They just had to read it and try to do what it said in the book on their own. And now, you know, 80 something years later, and a lot of us, I'm sure, can trace our lineages back to wherever they go. we have people that have had this experience, the spiritual experience and the spiritual awakening, and have learned what to do as laid out in chapter 7, step 12, to help newcomers like we were when we first got here. And by doing this, we get these promises in the next paragraph. Life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. What an amazing set of promises, and they come true when you get here if you continue to do what our program tells us to do, and if you continue to work with others. You know, every year when I celebrate, I say to the group that it's nice to mark a milestone for myself, but the real reason for celebrating is to show others with less time than me that that they can do it. Because if I could do it, then anyone else could do it. You know, I was just like everybody else that comes in here and comes through these steps when I first got here, you know? And that's the great message we bring. And that's what this chapter really talks about. I'm not going to go over all the instructions it gives us, but it tells us how we, as having had this experience, can pass that along in a way that nobody else can. And why? Because, you know, you often hear in meetings, identify, don't compare. So we tell our stories, and we have lots of people who come in here and tell their stories, hoping that at least one person or more will identify with what it was like. And then we can tell them what happened. Maybe they'll identify with that. Maybe they had a different what happened. But if they see that we had made that surrender and we start working this process and we do these steps, and they can see, and people can see when you're fully recovered by completing these steps, people can tell. People can see, especially even if they didn't know you when you first came in. There's a certain, I can always, almost always tell when I meet someone in AA, whether they have finished the steps or not. When they start talking about AA and recovery, you can see it, you can hear it, you can feel it. And I always tell people, when you're looking for a sponsor, look for someone who's awake to the process, who's had that experience. And most of the time it comes through either in sharing or you talking to someone, you can tell who has and who hasn't. And if you can't, ask them. If you're looking for a sponsor, have you had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps? And if they haven't, you might want to consider getting someone who has. Not to say that none of us can't help someone else, even if we haven't finished these steps, because I always tell my new guys, you can always help someone that has a little bit less time than you. Even if it's just, hey, I have 92 days and that person you're talking to has 20, right? You're showing that person that there is hope, that there's a way to make it. Because sometimes when you come in here, you either think you can't even make it 1 day, 2 days. Especially when you have that realization when you're told that you can never drink again. And that was a huge blow to me, and I'm sure many's. And I didn't know how I was going to do that, because that didn't fit within my plan of life before I got here. So Lonnie had asked me to relate some of this to the way we do it in the BBA. And I went back and looked at the transcriptions and stuff again. I hadn't looked at them in a little while. And it reminded me, it's really interesting what we do with this step in the workbook, because it doesn't just let us read through and pay attention to the instructions of how to sponsor someone or how to even make the approach to someone. But it tells us that we use this chapter as a tool to reflect on our own spiritual awakening as a result of this process. And if you have transcribed, or if you look at the workbook, if you haven't done it yet, you'll see that we turn a lot of these sentences that are dealing with working with a newcomer, how to approach them, what to talk about, what not to talk about. And we're using that to turn it into questions or considerations, like Jeff said, and it recaps, we reflect on what our journey in this program of recovery has been. You know, some of the, like,
five
in some of the
remaining
areas,
Bobby.
Sure. You know, some of the areas has my own experience showed that I couldn't do anything, that nothing I could do could ensure immunity from drinking. You know, so there's a reminder of my powerlessness. And it keeps bringing up. And, you know, I think it's really good that we always, that we keep looking back over our journey and our work through this process. You know, I've done the steps many times. Some people do it every year. Since COVID, I did a BBA workshop that I participated in. I led one, and me and a friend led a bunch of people through, and we worked this constantly. And I'm constantly looking at my life and am I living it in a spiritual way? And how did I get here? And every time I go through this book and through this work, I see something else. And if I don't, it just reinforces and reminds me of what I've gone through and what I've achieved by doing this work. And what have I've achieved is a spiritual experience and a relationship with God, so that I don't live in those spiritual unmanageabilities anymore. I've learned to live on a spiritual basis so that I don't have to worry about being tempted to take a drink. In this 10th step, it says, you know, we're safe and protected. We don't even think about alcohol. And this just comes to us. And people I work with and I meet and I start working with them, and they always ask, how does this work? How does this work? Why does this work? What? And I say, don't ask that question. You know, just do it. Just do it, because this is, especially through BBA, this is an experiential process. You have to experience it. I'm working with a couple of guys now who never really finished the steps, but they went through it by just reading it with a sponsor, reading line, either the sponsor would read to them or they would read to the sponsor. They weren't having an experience. And now we're going through this exactly as in the workbook, you know, with this 1, 2, 3 guide questions, and they're really having experience. These guys, every week, they're like after me, when are we meeting? When are we meeting? Because they're starting to get a real experience with this recovery process. And that's, to me, what BBA is all about. I know you said the meetings itself aren't, quote, conference approved, but all BBA is, it is, as you said, it's big book. It's going through the big book. It's just a different process, a different way to do it, which lets us have more of an experience, because it forces us to experience it. You can read, you know, it's just like in school, you can read words on a page, but if you don't do the practice problems, you're not going to get it. So BBA, the way this workbook was written, the way Dan wrote it with Joe, it forces us to really think about each aspect, each consideration, each thing said in this book, and apply it to ourselves and think about how our experience is with it. And by doing that, it really, I found, really makes it the experience of cleaning out what I need to clean out so that I can have my connection with my God so much more, so much deeper. And it really cuts through all the noise and the blockages that I have from my spiritual being, and gets me there. How much time we got, Jeff?
About a minute left.
Okay. So, I mean, every time I look back at the chapter, I realize how much, I mean, this is, we just did this chapter in my home group, and there's a lot of stuff to read here. And there's a lot of good information. And the workbook chapter really spends a lot of time turning the statements into questions, not just, you know, do you know how to approach someone? Do I believe I can help someone? But really changing these questions so that we can have this reflection on our spiritual awakening as a result of this process. And if you haven't gotten here yet, you will. And this is, it's just, as it says, or as we said at the beginning, this is the best way I know to have immunity from drinking. The feeling you get when you work with someone and when you see them get this awakening, you see them light up, you see them real get better and not even think about drinking anymore. There's no better feeling, really, than helping someone through this process. And then we practice these principles in all our affairs. Then you just realize you started because you're living a spiritual way with love and tolerance for others, that you're starting to help people outside of AA. And, you know, people look at us, people who know us from outside of AA, you know, we can tell them we're in AA and we do this, we do that. But if we don't act the way we're supposed to act outside of AA and treat others with love and respect and tolerance and the right way, they're going to think we're full of crap and they're going to think AA doesn't work. And there's so many ways you can apply this stuff to people outside of AA. I apply it in my work. I'm a lawyer. I apply it in my work. And the results are incredible because in the worst situation, the worst argument, the worst disagreement, the worst fight, when it's over, if something was said wrong by me or someone else, I know it has to be fixed. And when I do that, the transformation of the whole relationship can change. So really important to keep those two things in mind, that we have to do this work, this 12-step work with alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. The 12th step, the chapter talks, gives us lots of good instructions on how to approach someone who is new, someone who needs help, what to do if they're willing, what to do if they're not willing, what to do with their families. If you're getting to the point where you're going to be sponsoring people, it's a great chapter to read, both for the instructions and as the way BBA makes us reflect on our experience. So I really appreciate you asking me to share today. It's only the afternoon. And thanks for letting me share.